with you this morning. If you would turn with us over into Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7. It's a joy to be here today. I appreciate you that was praying for me this week. We've been in the mountains preaching and had a great camp meeting there. So many kind people. The Lord really helped us, and I feel used just to be a blessing, and they were a blessing to me. But this morning the Lord has put this passage upon my heart. And while I could go ahead and say this tonight at 6 o'clock, I hope you'll be back here at church. And I'll be here teaching tonight, and our kids going to classes. And let's put forth a good effort this week in Bible school. All right, if you're in Luke 7 this morning, say amen for me. Verse number 11. The Bible said, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. Many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. He came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things." You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the time in the house of God today. God, we've enjoyed the singing of God. Lord, we've enjoyed the stirring of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I thank you for people that have compassion. Now, Lord, I realize you are a God of compassion, and I thank you for that. Help us in the Word of God this morning. Help me to preach. I'm a needy preacher. I pray, Lord, you'd help me and touch me and use me today to be a blessing. Touch hearts and lives. God, touch them little children this week and help them in our Bible school. And we'll be careful in honoring you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I'm interested this morning in Luke 7. In verse number 11, the Bible said it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. I want to preach today on news at Nain. Some news at Nain. Now, first of all, you'll notice that there was a gathering in verse number 11. Let's look in the Word of God and see how that He brings these truths out to us. But there was a gathering in verse number 11. You'll notice there was a text talking about this gathering. It was the day after. The day after what? Well, there He had walked in and He had done something great for the centurion servant's house. He had went in and the dead had set up. And so he comes down to a little place at Nain, and there was a gathering. So we see this text the day after. And then not only this text, but did you notice this town? The only place in our Bible that it was ever mentioned. God mentions things in the Word of God over and over again, but yet here this little town, God never mentioned it again in the Word of God. It reminds me at Calvary. There Jesus mentioned the word Calvary one time, but yet He never used that word Calvary in our Bible again. But however, if Jesus never mentioned it again, aren't you glad that there was a great work went on at Calvary and there was a great work went on at Nain? Now here there was a gathering. We see this text and we see this town, but Note that there is a truth. The Bible said that there was some with Him, and they were His disciples. Look what it said. And many of His disciples went with Him, and much people. Now there lets me know that there was a crowd of people with Him, but there was some simply just for Him. You know, we've got a lot of people in our lives that is for us, but we need people with us. And can I tell you this morning that in this gathering, there was a text and a town, but it was a great truth. I wonder today, are you for Him or are you going with Him? You know, you're probably not against Bible preaching. You're probably not against the Lord doing great things. You're probably for Him. But I want to ask you, are you really with Him? I want to be with the Lord. Thank God. There's probably everybody on the side of my voice this morning pretty much for me. But I wonder, are you with me? You see, today there was a great gathering, this news at Nain. And then not only there's a gathering, but look in verse 12, and I'm not going to preach long today, but not only was there a great gathering, there was great grief. And I want to remind, and I want to say some things, I want you to hear me out today about this of grief. Now notice there was a place involved. It was at Nain. Now I want to remind you that we all may have Nain experiences. Matter of fact, there's something so severe in our lives that maybe it will only be mentioned one time. There are some things in my life that has happened that I never want to happen again. But here we see this grief came at Nain. There was a place. Has there ever been a place in your life that you can go back to where your heart was really hurt, your heart was really saddened, and you can go back and you got a name at this place? Well, I want to tell you, this lady always remembered this place at Nain. Just because you love Jesus today does not mean that He will not allow heartaches and hurts to come our way. You know, I wish that the Bible lined up with some of the TV preachers that tell you if you'd just send them their money and if you'd watch their TV show every week that they would promise you health and wealth, but evidently they've not read the Word of God. For I found out those that love Jesus many times will go through things in this life that others never will have to go through. But I come to tell you this morning, you may be going through things in your life, but thank God we ain't got to go through them by ourselves. Now, it may seem a very light circumstance to you, and I've seen a lot of people say, well, I would get over that. But honey, God will allow things to come in your life and my life that it's hard to get over. But we notice that grief came to this woman in Nain. Now, there was a place, there was a pain. But in verse number 12, there was a people. Matter of fact, as Jesus come down to the gate of the city, there, the Bible said that there was a young man being carried out. He was the only son of his mother, and the Bible said that she was a widow. It reminds me that grief don't come just in single boxes. Have you ever noticed? Seems like when it rains, it pours. I mean, it is amazing. We can handle a few things, but when crises start really mounting in upon us, that's when we can really realize just how human we are. She had lost her husband. I really don't know how. But we do know now that she had lost her boy, and it was her only son. Maybe we that have lost special things in our lives, God allows suffering to come to touch us to realize what great of a need of a Savior that we have today. But now I love this people that was involved. The Bible said that they was helping her carry her son out to the gate. Aren't you glad that you met some people in life that will help you carry your burden? You know, you better get involved in burden bearing. I wouldn't say, well, that don't mean nothing to me. Honey, you better hold on. You better be helping people carry their burden all you can, because there's coming a day when you're going to need somebody to help you carry your burden. Now, you might not have a big burden today, but I'll guarantee you, if you live
wrong, you're going to have a burden. And thank God for people that was helping her carry her burden to the gate of the city. Now there was a gathering. There was grief. And the Lord showed me this. Before there was a grave, there was grief. You see, grief came before the grave. And I want to tell you, many of us is going to experience grief in our life before we head to the grave. Now, no doubt, this woman, something had happened in her home with her husband. He was gone. But now her son had died. And not only do we see this thing of grief, but now we see a grave. Now, my thought there, the Bible said in verse 12, a dead man was carried out. Now, I want to say, death is inevitable. Death is coming to me and you. You know, the older you get sometimes when you get to thinking, you know, when I was young, and I know to some of you I'm still young. I just don't feel very young. But I want to say, you know, it seemed like you had the whole world ahead of you. But when you go to getting older, you really realize just what a short time that we've got here. You see, death is inevitable. Man, I was thinking, we've just moved and made a transition in our home, and I believe it's one of the biggest things that's ever happened to me in my life since I've got saved. Somebody say amen. But I got to thinking, you know, I was at the other place around 34 years, and you get to thinking about this, maybe what have I got, 20, 25 years? Life's short. Life's short. And so I've got to looking here about this thing of the grave. Death is inevitable. We're all going to die. We're all going to meet the Lord. The Bible said in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12. I want to read this morning about this of the grave. In Romans chapter number 5. And verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered in the world, and death, look, death by sin. Sin always causes death. Now, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, I'm going to tell you today that death is inevitable. Death is coming to us. And that's why the Bible said we must be born again. I believe with all of my heart that young children are safe with the Lord. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba, do you remember when that baby of his, of Bathsheba's, died? David put himself in sackcloth and ashes and he was weeping about his sin. Some men of the city came and told David. David got up and he cleaned himself off and he worshiped the Lord. And David said these words, "That child cannot come to me, but I can go to where he is." I'm glad God has all of our little children safe and sound this morning. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to come an age when you are accountable to God. I don't know what that age is. That's your business and God's business. But I want to tell you, there must come a time that you must accept Christ. Or if you die without God, hell will be your home. End of the story. Now, I want to say that this grave, it was inevitable. Number two, this grave was impartial. The Bible simply said this. There was a dead man carried out. And then he said something over in the Bible in verse 14. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." Now listen to me, young people. Death is not only inevitable, death's coming, but death is impartial. Did you know the first grave that was ever dug in our Bible came to a young person? It was Abel's grave. And let me tell you, death is impartial. Young people, I would love to tell you that you have a whole lifetime in front of you, but you don't know that this morning. But I can tell you what you can know. Jesus died for you on the cross. And Jesus wants to save you. And if you'd come to Him by faith, He'd save you by grace this morning. That's what you can know. Death is impartial. It came to this young man. Now, I've often said this. Lord showed me this preaching this week that I've never seen. About this grave, it is inevitable. It is impartial, and this grave is inconsiderate. There are no separate rules for young people and old people. I would love to know. You know, as I was thinking about time, this Christmas we'll be here, I think, 22 years. Probably at its best. Probably at its best. Maybe I've got 15 or 20 here left. That's all I've got. It's no doubt that I'm probably in the last quarters of life. No doubt. I mean, it's just what it is. Somebody say amen. But I would hope that I could see your children be raised and serving God and no trouble. But none of us know if you'll call me this week for me to come preach a youngin's funeral. We don't know that. You hear your preacher today. This is real deal Bible I'm preaching. Death is impartial. Now, I want to say this about the death of young people. Young people, life is short. You better get saved. Older people, life is short, and if you're not saved, you're gambling with time, and you're going to lose if you're not saved by the grace of God. Now, it's very inconsiderate. There are no separate rules for young or for old. You'll notice that when I read in Romans 5 this morning, death came by sin. Sin always brings death. Young people, that's why. If you're hanging around in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot and them boys pull out a bag of weeds, you don't need to get in the car. If they've got a six-pack of Budweiser on the seat, you need to get out of the car. You need to call somebody to come get you and take you home. Because, see, this is the thing about consequences of sin. If you're just around it, it's going to bring death to you. You don't have to be drinking it. You must be around the wrong crowd. And it's going to hurt you. And so that's why that you need to determine in your heart. Let them tell you, well, you're just being goody-goody two-shoes. You ought to say, no, I just want to live a while. Let them talk about you. Be a light. Get out of the car. Call your preacher. Call your church family. Call your mom and daddy. Call your friend. Disconnect from sin. Disconnect from sin. It always brings death. Alcohol's rampant in our country. And you know, I realize there's a lot of social drinking going on in our culture. But let me tell you, one drink leads to a drunkard. That's stronger than you are. And then when we play with the sins of alcohol, when we play with the sins of drugs, we'll let drugs infiltrate and touch and damage our minds like nothing else could ever do. Sin always brings death. Young people, I know it is our culture now just to move in and shack up, but let me tell you, adultery is still wrong in the eyes of God. Sin always brings death. And so we see here that sin is impartial. And then, fourthly, the news at Nain, not only is there a gathering, not only is there grief, and not only is there a grave, but look in verse 13, there is a guest. There's a guest. The Bible simply said this, and when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her. Now His presence was not coincidental, it was providential. I want to say that His presence was not all of a sudden that He just run up on it.
Let me tell you, God is always on time every time.
And so this guest comes, and look what he does in verse 13. When the Lord saw, we can learn from this, He had compassion on her. That word saw means something a lot different. It's used only in this text. It means that the Lord drew near to that situation. Can I tell you, the Lord knows what we're going through this morning. The Lord saw her and then He had compassion on her.
But not only this, this is what I want to get to. Look in verse 13. Not only is there a guest, but now look in verse 12. Did you notice when I read this Bible text that it mentioned a gate?
Now, when it came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. Now, look in verse 13. Jesus does something that's amazing. And when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her, and He said unto her, "Weep not." Isn't that strange?
Now let's think about this a minute. Somebody as wonderful and loving as the Lord. Here's a lady that had lost her husband, now has lost her son. And the Lord walks up to her, and this is what He says, "Weep not."
Why did He say that?
I want to say, first off, maybe the reason that He don't want us to cry about things, that He's got all things already handled.
But number two, we're very human. I'm a crybaby. I make no bones about it. Thank God I've got tears this morning. I had an old mean preacher tell me one time I come up from under. He said, "It's two things you're gonna lose." The older preacher you get, you're gonna lose that fire you got, and you're gonna lose them tears. I want to say, by the grace of God, I ain't lost nary one of them this morning. Thank God for tears. Weep not. Young people, when you look around at these wrinkles in this building on people's face this morning, there's been a lot of rivers of tears that have come down the face of the wrinkled ones today. Been a lot of sorrow, a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of heartaches and difficulties. But ain't you glad there is a God in heaven? When He gets to the gate of the city, He's going to walk away all of our tears from our eyes, for there will be no more crying, no more dying, no more pain. Thank God when we get to the gate of the city, He'll wipe away our tears.
Got her to the gate. Said, "Weep not. I may have some tears here, but you hear me and hear me well. When I get to the gate of the city, He's going to wipe all the tears out of my eyes. Weep not." Aren't you glad you got a God that cares this morning, Miss Sherry? The gate. Now, I've cried a lot in this life. I know some of you that are harder hearted. But you ought to try crying sometimes. Let your head leak. It wouldn't swell near as bad. Thank God for tears that affect you. Let me tell you, when you see somebody showing tears, it ought to affect you because it moves the heart of God. Matter of fact, they put tears in the bottle. The Bible speaks of that. She's carrying her dead boy out of the city. God walks up at the gate. Said, "Weep not." I read over there this morning where He said, "There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, for the former things are passed away." He said, "Behold, I make all things
knew. We that cry, cry on. I'm going to cry with you. Matter of fact, one of the greatest things Jesus has ever given me is tears. Man can study, get knowledge. Man can pray and get power. But only God can give a man and woman tears. It brings compassion. You see, it lets me know something. Hear me and hear me real good. There are some things in this life that will bring tears. But when we get to the gate of that city, He's going to say, weep not. Weeping may endure for the night. Joy is coming in the morning. There's a land that's fairer than day. Not only was there a gate, but there was grace. You know what Jesus done? That word bier means casket. He walked up and laid His hand on that coffin. And He said something to that boy. See, word brings life. Look in your Bibles. You'll never find no place where Jesus was where anybody stayed dead. Because He's the resurrection and the life. That day death met life. Jesus spoke a word to him and he set up. You know how to keep a church from dying? Keep Jesus in it. You know how to keep singing alive? Keep Jesus in it. You know how to keep preaching alive? Keep Jesus in it. You know how to keep your home alive? Keep Jesus in it. Because He brings life. Now you'll notice he was dead and Jesus said something to him. When He spoke to him, he sat up. Some of you may be here this morning and never been made alive by the Spirit of Christ. You've never been born again. The Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sins. But can I tell you, Jesus still speaks to the dead. Matter of fact, this is the third person that He brought from the dead. One was on the bed. Jairus' daughter. This young man was being carried out to the gate of the city. Jesus spoke to him. Remember, Lazarus was in the grave 4 days already. He done up in glory. Could you imagine what old Lazarus was doing? He is dead. He wasn't in purgatory. Purgatory is not in the Bible. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Lazarus crossed over. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Didn't He say with a loud voice? Somebody probably said, hey, Lazarus, did you hear somebody call you? Jesus raised him from the dead. Let me tell you, Jesus can raise you from the dead this morning and give you life that's life eternal. As Miss Sherry plays today, I'd like to open this altar. Whatever you need this morning, would you come? You may have some tears here, but I guarantee you at the gate of the city, Jesus is going to dry all your tears. Sweet not.